Hello there. Welcome back to You, Me, and the podcast. And today I have a very special guest.
Hey, everyone. It's Emerald.
Hi. How are you guys doing? We have Emerald on the podcast because, let's face it, we love her. And today we don't really know what we're talking about. We're just talking. We're just talking to talk.
We're just vibing.
It's a professional yap sesh.
Honestly, truly, bouncing off of each other, see where the train of thought leads us.
It's like we're just piggybacking.
Yeah.
We're just piggybacking off it. Just
piggybacking, echoing, whatever you want to call it. That's what we're
exactly
doing.
Honestly, I think, like, again, our brains work in the same way. And I think that bodes well for us.
We can definitely pick up where the other left off.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what's interesting is, like, even when I talk to you, I can still keep my train of thought.
I'm exactly the same way.
And I think it's because you don't, like, we have, like, a mutual respect where we don't, like, cut each other off to the point where, like we carry the conversation in a completely different direction. It's like, okay, there's a beat, and you can keep, be like, okay, sidebar. Yeah. And here's the thing. We don't get distracted by our sidebars either.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I'm not saying it. Whatever I'm saying, I'm not doing it to take over the conversation. I just want to add a little something.
Just a little flair.
I just want to add a little but we were going somewhere.
Yeah.
And I will get there.
It's like a pit stop.
Yes.
That's exactly what it
is.
Yes. It's a pit stop.
We're just taking a detour. We're just going to change the tires real quick. We're going to get back on the road.
We're just refueling.
And we're going to end up
exactly. We're going to continue the journey.
Yes.
You know, like a little rest stop, little pee, little wash your hands.
You know, and we might switch the driver's seat, you know? Sometimes I drive, sometimes you drive.
Yeah. Fair.
But we're going to respect each other along the way. Right. And it makes for a very smooth drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I love your dress.
Thank you.
Your dress.
Someone cool picked it out for me.
For context, I literally bought that dress for myself because I love the color. But it, like, did not fit me correctly. And it fits you like a glove.
I'm in love with the sleeves. Like, I'm the type of girl where, like, I get new clothes and I immediately want to save it for, like, the first time that I wear it.
Same.
And so I'm already thinking, like, okay, where am I going?
Exactly.
Where am I going? And when is the public going to see this new dress?
Oh, dude, I got, like, this, like, two-piece set from Ross, which also, it was only like $12.99, is top and a bottom.
So good.
And it's been sitting in my closet, and I'm like, I have nowhere to wear it. I was like, I don't go anywhere. And I was like, I need to do something so I can wear this. And then I can, like, the people.
Yes.
The peasants can see this.
And once I do wear it, then I'm good. Then I can just get my regular rotation.
It's rotation.
Yeah, like, it's fine. If it's a set, I can break up the set now and do the stuff. But the first time.
The grand opening.
What is the first time
that I need to look so hot.
Yeah.
But also because it's, like, it sets the mood. Like, I got this $8, like, again, like, I love. First of all, I'm not saying it because I think I spend so much money on my clothes. No, it's because I spend so little money on my clothes.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
There is this jumpsuit that I got for $8 from Ross, right?
So good.
And it's like a chine, like, you know, like the blue and the white, like, chinois pattern, kind of, right? It's that, but on a jumpsuit.
$8,
right?
Yep.
The first time I ever wore this jumpsuit, I was like, I have to wear it, like, you know, somewhere nice. I wore it to LA and we were thrifting. And we, like, that night we went out for, like, drinks and stuff. It was, like, one of the best, like, nights, like, I've ever had in LA. And we had, like, fusion Japanese food and it was so good. I had, like, one of my favorite drinks ever. That place is closed down. It was Warrior in Los Angeles, if you guys know.
So sad.
But I have such fond memories of that night because of that piece
of
clothing.
And you know what? It's because of that.
Yeah.
You set the tone with the outfit.
Exactly. It sets the tone, right? And honestly, again, like, the price sets the tone too. Like, if I'm spending $60 on something and I don't get a good fucking
fam. Okay?
If I don't get a good, like, energy and vibe that was created off of whatever I was wearing, I'm gonna be pissed.
Right. No. I have to curate the perfect everything. I need the hair, I need the outfit, I need the occasion, I need, like, the company, who's coming with me. Like, this is a thing.
Yeah.
You all will not ruin this debut for me.
Exactly. Exactly. this grand debut, you will not ruin this for me. Absolutely. Are you a TJ Maxx, Ross? What's your hierarchy if you're going shopping? Where do you go first?
Honestly, just because my accessibility in Vallejo, I'm a Ross girly. I always want to be Marshalls, but I feel like Marshalls, it tries too hard, and so then it misses. I don't even know if that makes any sense, but I feel like the selection is, like, the variety is not quite there for me all the time when it comes to Marshalls, like, even with their clothes section.
I love the Vallejo Marshalls, though.
I don't know. It's like, I see some stuff, and I'm just like, what's the audience here? Like, who's supposed to be wearing this? Because I feel like it's not my age. Like, I feel like I'm always in, like, the women's section of Kohl's when I'm at Marshalls.
That's a really good distinction.
Versus, like, when I go to Ross, I feel like there's a little bit more.
It's definitely youthful.
Yeah,
it's
more youthful. There's a little bit more variety. Yeah. Does it mean I'm buying all the youthful stuff? Absolutely not. But
it just feels good to.
Yeah, it feels good to be
to
there.
Know. Yeah. See, my hierarchy is I'm always going thrifting first, right? Like, if I have something particular in mind that I need to get, it's always thrifting.
Yes.
Then it's Didi's. Have you ever been to Didi's?
Yes.
Didi's?
I will even go to a Didi's. Yeah.
Yeah. Didi's, Ross, Marshall's, TJ Maxx. And if it's like a home decor item, then Home Goods. And then if all of those have been exhausted, then maybe I'll try Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah. I would definitely put TJ Maxx further down on the list, which is shocking to me because TJ Maxx always feels like a luxury. Mm-hmm. Because I don't live near one.
Oh yeah, that'll make
like,
a difference.
It's like, ooh, I want to go to TJ Maxx and see what they have, and then I go in there and I'm like, okay, I could have just gone to Ross. No offense,
dude. On average, Didi's and Ross are so much cheaper than TJ Maxx for the exact same item.
Right. Well, and I guess that's what I mean by like they try to be the higher end of the like surplus retail market, but. Then I get the stuff and I'm like, oh, but I don't want to spend $60 on that.
Yeah.
So I might as well go to Ross where they maybe don't have as many like cool brand names, but I'm only going to spend $16.99.
Yeah. Oh, no. Absolutely.
I might as well.
I've gotten so much good stuff. Like, for example, like soap dispensers. So when we moved.
Literally just got my latest set from Ross.
Right. Yes. And so I went to TJ Maxx. Everything was like $9 or above. Right.
Never.
And here's my thing.
For
like,
soap?
Well, no, not even soap. The empty dispenser.
No.
At Home Goods, it was $12.99. $13 for a soap dispenser without the soap?
I'll make one.
Without the soap? How dare you? How dare...
That'll make me switch to bars of soap if I'm going to spend $13.
The audacity, right? I go to Ross. Exact same thing. $6.99.
As it should be.
$6.99.
As it should be. And here's the thing. Every once in a while... I like serious it out on accident and I'm like, should I really be upset that I have to spend this much money on something if it means that I'm like inadvertently like paying an employee what they deserve or something like that. But then I just think, were we ever created to spend all this fake money on all this stuff anyways? No, we weren't. So.
And my, you know what my thing is that like, even at like TJ Maxx and Marshalls and stuff, like, It's always just, I don't know, like, I love it. Here's my thing. Don't get me wrong. I love TJ Maxx and Marshalls. Like, I love Marshalls, especially, like, their dog section.
So
good. So good.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, it's just, like, if I don't find something at Ross or, like, No, I want to revise my list because it's thrifting, yes. Didi's,
okay.
Burlington, Ross.
Okay.
Marshall's, TJ Maxx, Nordstrom Rack.
Everything got bumped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Burlington. With Ross and Didi's and Burlington, you might have to look for the stuff. Like, you might have to rifle through.
Yes.
Right? But I'm okay with that. If it means, like, 10, like on average, I'm saving $10 to $20 per trip.
Easy.
I'm okay with that.
I'll look.
Right, like, I don't like, and then some people are like, Ross's are just so like there's clothes everywhere, it's just so disorder. I don't care.
Yeah, no.
I thrift, so I don't care.
Yeah. No, I know my older sister is very much like, girl, give me organized sections, I want to be able to look and see what I'm getting. And I'm like, I understand that, and I'm here for a bougie moment, but when it comes to me wanting to find exactly what I want, and like you said, not wanting to spend an arm and a leg,
yeah,
I will sit there and sift through every single thing if it means that I only have to spend $6.99.
Dude, I've literally gotten like these flowy like pants, like they were like pleated pants. I got them from Didi's and I got them for $4.99. And I still have them to this day.
Yes.
And they're like a one size, like they're super easy breezy, like perfect for like going to the office type of vibe. And I was just like, I love that.
It's the way it should be.
Because it's like, it's so egregious that people are charging like $20 for a top.
There's so many things in life that I have to pay for and I need clothes for every day.
Yeah.
Why would you make it to where I have to spend $30 on this thing that I have to wear every single day?
Yeah.
This is stupid.
There is, okay, so the only exception is anything that I've already had my eye on. Like there was, okay.
Yes.
There was this one like Tommy Hilfiger. It's such a, like my whole style and vibe is very, very preppy. Like it's very waspy, like, you know, type of thing. And so like, that's always been me though. That's always like country club type of vibe. Like I, like there was this dress that I really, really wanted because I saw a girl on TikTok wearing it. She wasn't even talking about the dress, but I saw her dress and I was like, oh my God, I need that in my wardrobe right now.
Yeah.
Like at this moment in time, I need that. Right. And so I spent like so much time looking for this particular dress because when I get obsessed with something, I'm like, oh, I'm Google image, like reverse searching it. Right.
Yeah.
And so I end up finding this dress on Amazon. It's a Tommy Hilfiger dress. Right. Which, okay. Like I get it. Right. Guess how much they're charging?
Oh God. Is it three digits?
No, but close.
Okay. So I'm going to go at a nice like $80.
$89.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it was very simple.
It was like a houndstooth like dress.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like light blue. And it was just.
Which sounds very cute.
It's so preppy. Like I'm going to go get it. Hold on.
Yeah. 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 I would have bought it. Because I literally almost bought something like that for my birthday last year.
For context, you guys.
That's so cute.
This is the dress. Look at how cute this is.
Can I feel it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would do it. I would have done it.
Okay, but $89, right?
Yeah.
I'm not paying $89 on Amazon.
One time for the one time.
Right?
Not like
No, fine. It wasn't like, when I saw $89... I was like, it's not $89 worth of cute, right?
Fair.
So then, imagine my surprise when 2 weeks later, I'm just moseying through Marshalls.
2 weeks is crazy.
Looking for, well, I'm already thinking about it. And I'm trying to rationalize.
But the fact that you would see something on the internet 2 weeks later,
This always happens to me though. I'll be thinking about something and I'll see it online or whatever. And then it'll appear at the thrift. Right? Wow. I love it. Anyways, so I imagine my surprise when I'm at Marshall's and I see this dress, right? And the stop that I did and the gasp, I gasped.
Yeah. I'm grabbing it. Ripping it off of the
I tore it off of the thing.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Are we ready? Are we ready for the price tag reveal?
Buying three
for everybody that at home, it was $39. First of all, the compare price is at $68.
Right.
So what the fuck does Amazon look like charging $89 for
it? Right.
Right. It has the original tag. The original tag for the actual garment was $119. Which again, Amazon, what the hell?
Right.
I got this baby for 20 doll hairs.
$24. That's incredible.
Or 24 doll hairs. I'm sorry. That I'm willing to pay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, so my mom was like, it looks like a hospital gown.
No. And you just got to see the whole thing.
It's because of the pockets.
You got to see the whole vision.
But I was like, once I style it, you're going to see.
Yes.
And also, from a different TJ Maxx, I bought, well, from a TJ Maxx, not a Marshalls, I bought some Tommy Hilfiger, like denim, like little sandals that I took to Mexico with me. Yeah, so all that together.
I love that.
Perfect.
I love it.
Also, the next time we record, I'm wearing that.
you have to.
For the continuity. Yeah, so like if it's something like that where it's like, okay, like I've been looking for it. It's $24, in my opinion, is kind of a lot for a dress. But if it's something that it's like I was thinking about actively for 24 hours, more than 24 hours, I'm like, okay.
The other thing is I've really started to like, I prioritize getting a basic that I know that I will like repeat wearing, or I go for something that I feel is like actually unique and worth me spending the money on. At that point, like, then my money will change a little bit. If I find, like, I don't know, if I'm going through Target and I find like I had been looking for a black satin dress. Like, that's what I wanted, a black satin dress that I could just throw on with anything. And I finally was at Target one day and I found it, and I don't remember how much it cost, but it was probably not on sale. And I was like, you know what? This is exactly the one that I want. And yeah. I know that I will wear it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's like this article of clothing has been on my mind for long enough.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the frivolous buy, there's no way. I will literally go into Target to waste money and then pick something up and be like, not wasting that much though.
It's so interesting, the phenomenon of like, it's cute until you see the tag.
Absolutely.
And like, you know, like some people like I had a friend who was like, she was like, my sister went into like the Louis Vuitton store and she was like, oh, like, you know, they kind of shamed her into buying a bag. I was like, could not be me. I am so, so vocal about the fact that things are not priced well.
Yeah. No.
Like, I will say out loud in the case, and I love Kate Spade. Like, Kate Spade is like my one thing.
She's
like,
just so simple and so good.
Everything I have, like all of my work stuff, like my work bag, my work laptop sleeve, my work phone, all Kate Spade.
Literally the purse I brought here today.
Yeah. And then also like my travel bag and my travel backpack, all in the same print. Right.
I love that.
Like, I am that bitch. Yes, going to the airport. But like, even like at Kate Spade, like sometimes it'll be like, even on sale, it's like $300, $400. I'm like, hell no.
Because I can go to Ross.
Exactly. Right. And so to me, me and my cousins, we went to like Coach and they were like charging, like at the store, it was like $300 for a purse. It was a small purse. And I was like, that's wild.
Not worth it.
And like, even like my mom is also like one of those people where she's like, no. I was like, you cannot shame me into getting a bag. Because yes, I'm such a frivolous spender.
Yes.
But it like, I there's a threshold to what I will allow myself to spend.
Yes.
Like $10 to $15. If it's something that I don't necessarily need, I will buy it. Like on dumb shit. But once you get beyond $15.
Now I'm like, ah.
Especially for something that you wouldn't use all the time.
Yeah. I gotta roll it back after that. But if it's at a nice, cool $10 to $15, there's absolutely a chance
I'm willing to gamble.
I'm just saying yes on literally anything.
I'm willing to
gamble. A random office supply.
Yeah. Like, well, my thing is like, honestly, for me, I'll think about it. But like with these guys, $10 to $15 per dog, easy. $50 easy for the dogs. Without even thinking about it.
Worth it.
They truly are.
Cutie little reactions.
And like, I will literally buy them like so many toys and then they want to eat on like, they want to chew like a,
yeah.
a like
they
a
actually just want to eat the corner of a pillow and then they're
that good. Or like what they'll do is like, they'll take like the throw pillows and then they'll suckle on like the little
yes
end. And I'm like,
you don't want the new plushie? That's good.
Or like this one, she'll, you know what she does? She'll literally be like, I brought in a case of water. I went inside to use the restroom for literally 10 minutes. I come back. She's already torn like the side of one of the water bottles trying to get the cap off.
And you I'm know like, what? Dude, and we're not going to get rid of them. That's the
absolutely
thing about
not.
It.
She's like, and what are you going to do about it? Absolutely nothing. So shut the fuck up. And I'm like, fair. Fair. But going back to like shopping and stuff, I feel like one thing that I do consider is like cost per use.
I would agree with that. I think I do too.
Right? Like cost per use is definitely another thing. Oh, but also I think like thrifting has definitely spoiled me to the point where I'm like, yo, I know I could get this cheaper.
That was my big thing, is when I was like in my like early 20s, like late teens, early 20s, thrifting was everything to me, and it totally spoiled me in the same way. Even to the point where now that thrifting has become more popular and it has gotten more expensive, I would literally be like, do I even want to get this from here?
Yeah.
Because why am I actually, I should be able to get any dress for $10.99 or less.
Yeah.
Any dress that I want.
Dude, the thing is though, like I literally like, I bought two dresses on the same day that were new with tags from Target at the thrift store for $11. per $11.99 per dress, right?
Yeah.
But you know what's even crazier is sometimes I'll find things that are like literally like I just saw in store. Right? Like there's this hot pink like pleated dress, right? It was like a halter. And I kind of looked at it in a different color at Target and I was like, I'm not spending $25, but that's cute. Like for summer. Like you know that like hot like hot pink, right? Yeah. I was like, that's very summery, right? You got like the perfect little tan going and everything, right? And I was like, for $25, that's kind of a lot for something that I might not wear like as often, right? I see it at thrift and I'm like, $11-$12, I can do that.
I can do that.
Right?
I can buy that to then wear it every blue moon.
Yeah. And then like I got this other dress that was like a baby pink, or it's like a mauve, but it has like the smallest like micro florals on it. And it's like one of the best, like I think it's gonna go into the rotation once I actually wear it out, because I haven't even had a chance to wear it out, right? But it's like the perfect house dress because it's made out of like that perfect like material where like if it gets wet it's gonna dry pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. you know what I mean like when you're like washing dishes or like whatever. Yes. Right. Yes. And like you don't want to be like wet, but it's like if you have a material that you know is just gonna air dry really well. So good. And like, I don't know, like it's just like me and Jamie were kind of talking about it. It's just like these are all girlhood things, and I love that somebody else understands, you know what I mean?
You know, being a girl is fun.
It really is.
Being a girl is cute. And I feel like there was a long time in my life where like I didn't want to lean into my femininity and like girlness just because there was already so many things about me that I felt like were little lame. Like I cry all the time. I'm like very, very, very emotional. And I feel like there was a time, I feel like if you're specifically from the Bay Area and you are a millennial or around that age group, then you know that like being a guy's girl was like very cool for a really long time. Like the coolest girls were the ones that like also wore the snapbacks and things like that. And finally I was just like, screw it, like I'm just gonna be the soft one of the group. I'm gonna be the one who likes to shop and wear the cutie little dresses. I'm gonna be the one where when we go out to drink and everybody wants to get their beers, I'm getting a margarita.
Yeah, fun drink.
I'm just getting it, and I'm just gonna be the girly one, and
I'm just,
and that's okay,
dude. Honestly, I totally agree with you on that. Like I, like, for me, I was always built like a fucking tank, right?
You're like killing me with these descriptions. I can't.
Well, okay, so my biggest gripe with my mom, I love my mom so much, but my biggest gripe with my mom is she'll be like, you're so big. And I'm like, you married a wrestler. My dad's family, like, is a family of wrestlers, right? And so it's not like my mom, like, again, my parents' marriage wasn't, like, super arranged, right? My mom saw my dad before they got married, right? Yeah. Like,
and not chose even, this. She chose this
well,
for you.
Well, that, but also, like, my mom saw him actively, like, you know, and was like, hey, like, you know, he's cool, this and the third, right? Yeah. I don't know why this woman was shocked.
I don't, when you came out and you had some hips
and that, and I like I had brought like a broader chest, I was like, I don't, what?
Yeah,
this makes no sense. Right. And so she'll like, because she was super super petite when she got married. Why was everybody's mom in the 90s or like whenever she got married 90 pounds or less?
My mother was a model and she was literally that
90 thing. Pounds or less. Every single mom says that. When I got married I was 95 pounds.
Congratulations.
I'm like, I'm so sorry about it, but you also lived in a third world country. You know what I mean?
Like, oh my gosh.
Ugh. Like, I don't know what to tell you. That's so good. Right? But also, like again, like, so to me, like, when I was younger, especially because, like, when I was in high school, or not even high school, when I was in middle school, I got my hips and boobs really young, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I was in middle school specifically, I had to wear boy clothes because they hid my hips. I remember the first time I wore this pink turtleneck, and it was like actually form fitting. And my best friend, we were like about to run the mile, and I like took off my sweater.
Yeah.
And my best friend in middle school was like, "You have curves," and I was like, sorry. Now, and no, she was like, no, 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 that's a good thing.
Was that a you desire thing, or was that like a family?
Oh, no, no, my mom actively wanted me to dress like a boy.
Because it, is that like a religious, like, ooh, this is like not good for you to be showing your body? Or is it like a, I have a daughter and I like just don't want your body out there for like other boys to see?
I think it might have been like more religiously, like, what's the word? Influenced?
We need modesty.
Yeah. And so.
We love the M word.
But even if you want to dress modestly, it doesn't mean that you can't dress cute.
You are not wrong.
Right?
You're not wrong.
Like, even now, like, sometimes I'll dress modestly, but I still dress cute. Like, right. I still look very put together, very girly, right? So, like, that was always my biggest gripe. I was like, oh, I'm not even, I literally might, like, I wore jeans.
Yeah.
And then oh, my God. Oh, jeez. I don't know if you experienced this exact same thing, but I had to wear shirts that were long enough to cover my butt.
It was so frustrating.
Did you also have to do that? Oh, my God.
It was the most frustrating, stupid thing in the world.
And I feel like we can understand each other because we both had like that religion, that super fundamentalist religion, like undertone, right?
Everything was all about like, what are the people going to think? How are they going to assess you and your body? And why would you want to be the girl who would show your body? You don't want to be that girl, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're going to wear your tunic and you're going to like it.
And dude, my mom, like, so like, again, like, because I got my boobs and butt so young, right? Like, I remember like my mom would like get like shirt sizes that were like way too big. Like, I was wearing a men's 2X, right?
As a teen girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And I was like, I wanted nothing in my life than to be like girly, right?
Yeah.
And so like in high school, my mom kind of like tapered off of that. And then like I remember my junior and senior year, like she kind of allowed me to kind of like buy, like, again, we went to Kohl's. That's why I have like such an emotional connection with Kohl's and like Kohl's cash. And so she would let me pick out like things, but then I would have to try them on. And that's another reason why I hate trying on clothes in the store, is because I feel like it's never good for me. Right. Yeah. And so that's why I carry a tape measure with me everywhere. So if instead of trying it on, I'll just like measure the important things. Right. Yeah. Again, I never like got to do any of that. And so like my sophomore and like senior year, my mom kind of she kind of like deviated from like just t-shirts. I was allowed to wear blouses. not the business casual blouses. Oh my gosh,
not the three-quarter sleeves.
Oh my gosh.
Now, okay, I don't know anything about anything, but I feel like when you look at Indian clothing, it's not like women are not super feminine though.
But see, that's the difference between Indian culture. Well, also Indian and Punjabi culture are two different things.
Okay. Right? Tell me, educate me.
So Punjab is a state of India.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And so like India has like over 100 like languages, right? And it has like a bunch of different states, right? But each state is not like, it's not like how like the US is, where it's like, you know, like there's still some semblance of like, you know, like if you went to like Montana, you could still communicate with people in Montana, right? It's more so like if you were to like, if you went to Montana and they spoke like Arabic in Montana.
Right.
Right. And you couldn't communicate with these people. Yeah, right.
Right.
And so like it's very culturally diverse. Mm-hmm. And so Punjabi culture is more, I would say, more strict. Mm. And but then we have like a, we don't have like a clear distinction between culture and religion in Punjabi culture.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like there are some things that you do that are cultural, but then there are some things that like it's so enmeshed. That there's say, no...
like it could be based in religion, but it doesn't even necessarily mean that you're practicing when you do it. It's just it derived from that, but now it's just how we all live, basically.
Yeah. And so like because of that, it's like Sikh religion in reality isn't supposed to be super restrictive, but is when you grow up a like fundamentalist in any religion, I feel like it can be very restrictive. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like my thing. And so As I kind of grew up, I kind of like found myself, and that's why I'm like hyper feminine, right?
Right.
And even like the way that we like decorate our home is like very feminine, because I was never allowed to express that side of myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I think like this is no tea, no shade to religion. Like again, it's not religion's fault, right? Like it's not God's fault. It's not nobody's fault, right? But just like I think also for me personally, it was something that was like, okay, like as much as I respect how other people think, it's just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's like, for me, that was a very respectful thing. Like, I didn't like, I have no qualms with like God, right? Yeah. It was more so just like, hey, like, you know, this way of life doesn't work for me.
It's funny that you would say it like that. I'm only laughing. What you said was not funny, but I'm giggling because I still practice Christianity, like grew up in it and like still do it now, versus most of my friends grew up in it but don't practice anymore. And I love to make up, I was going to say cutie little phrases, but even saying cutie little and then inserting the thing is one of the phrases that I do. When I'm talking about my friends and how they don't necessarily practice Christianity anymore, I will usually say something like, yeah, like my friends used to be Christian, but like they don't really like Jesus anymore. And every time I say that, one of them goes, it's not that I don't like Jesus. Like, guys, it's a figure of speech. I don't really mean it. But yes, they end up saying a lot of the same things. It was like there was some sort of restriction that just, you get to a point in life where you're like, I'm not relating to this anymore, and I'm not mentally like invested in it enough to be held down by whatever it is that this like boundary is.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's more so just like how me personally, this is how I feel, because you will get flamed in our community for saying anything.
Yeah.
But for me personally, it was more so like I always say this. I don't have a problem with God. I have a problem with God's fan club.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so my thing is always like, it's not even that like it was like restrictive or anything like that. It's just like, for me, it was like very ritualistic. If I looked a certain way, it's like I'm accepted.
Yeah.
Or like if I choose to look this way, but I still want to participate in religion, I'm not allowed.
It was something that I was like subconsciously aware of it, but because my personality lends itself to falling in line, I didn't really realize that it was happening because I was just naturally already going along with everything. I love when people in charge tell me what to do. Oh, tell me what to do. Give me a rule, a guideline. I don't want to have to think.
Wait, what's your sign? What's your astrology?
Oh, I'm a Cancer double Capricorn. So I
that
like
checks out.
So I think too much. And I feel way too much.
See, I'm a Leo.
And I just want someone to be like, come on, baby. Don't stress about what's right or wrong. I got you. You will just do it. And so it made it really easy. Like, oh, you want me to dress like this? Okay, I'll dress like this. You want me to talk like this? Oh, I'll talk like this. But I didn't realize that was any sort of like privilege until I got older.
Yeah.
And I started paying attention to, unfortunately, like the treatment of my friends as they all started like going through kind of like their own like deconstruction times at different points of our late teens and early 20s.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. And so I'm watching as reactions to my friends that used to be just as nice as reactions to me are slowly starting to change.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing like, oh, well, on paper, Emerald, like, you are a singer and you love to smile and you're great with people and you love wearing those dresses to church and people love when you wear the dresses to church. Mm-hmm. And you're a great conversationalist and people feel really warm when they talk to you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, on paper, of course you guys want me in front of people. On top of the fact that I still like Jesus. But, like, of course I am being held close and being offered opportunities and this and that. And like, it's this unfortunate thing to realize because I don't want to think that that is what was happening, that, you know, to me more than like, at the end of the day, I feel like it became more of kind of like what you're saying, a cultural thing that was happening. It's not like, to me anyways, it's not like someone was praying and going, I really think maybe you should take a step back from this. It was like, you're doing things that just like look weird in our context and we don't like that. So you need to go sit down.
Yeah.
And it's like, dang, I could be terrible. I'm not terrible. So single me out. I'm not terrible. But I'm just saying, like, I could be terrible and you wouldn't know because I'm acting the part. And to your point, if you suddenly want to come dressed like this and you're exactly in your, but your heart is like so right there, it's like, why wouldn't that be enough?
And I think a lot of like identity like plays a really big role in like the religion that I grew up in. And I think like I wouldn't be able to tell whether like if I just saw you walking down the street, yeah. right? I wouldn't be able to tell if you're a Christian, if you're a Catholic, if you're like whatever your denomination or yeah. like whatever you, however you believe in God, yeah. right? I think because like Sikhs are like turbaned and like, all, like there's like the identity.
There's identifiers.
Right? And I think because of that, I think that plays a whole different, like, it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Because it's like now, like there's like clear distinction between somebody who wears a turban and someone who doesn't wear a turban, right?
That
it's
is like an immense amount of pressure that as a Christian I don't know if I could relate to.
Yeah, and so I think that's where my kind of like Achilles was because like Sikhs don't cut their hair, right? Like most people don't cut their hair, and so
men and women
okay. both, yeah. And so like my cousin wears a turban, right? Mm-hmm. Like she wears a turban, like, you know. Like you can clearly tell she is of a faith, right?
Right.
And so I think again, and also I think a lot of like people that I surround myself with, like my entire family is all very religious, so I stick out like a sore thumb, right? Mm-hmm. I've always mm-hmm. felt that, like mm-hmm. I am the black sheep of my family for lack of better like word, right? And I'm okay with that, like I'm okay with breaking like societal and, yeah. and norms, because like yeah. again, like I'm a Leo, I'm very much a Leo,
yes.
right? And so to me, like if like, you know, I have no problem lighting it up, right? Yeah. And again, like to me, like I have no, like even like my mom's like really religious, my stepdad's still really religious, like they're practicing like their faith and everything. And I have nothing against that, right? And I think a lot of people like I hate it because like a lot of people will try to teach me religion.
And you're like, baby.
And it's
my
funny.
First book was.
And it's well, it's funny because like, again, my first language was Punjabi. I yeah. learned how to read and write in Punjabi so yeah. that I could read scripture. Right?
Right.
And so it like it just like one of like this person that I was friends with in college, he would try to teach me about my religion because this is how I looked. Mm-hmm. And so I would just kind of be like, hey, yeah, you know, just because like. At that point in time, I was kind of a pushover, but also like I just didn't know how to break it to him of like, yo, have you seen my brothers?
Yeah.
Like my brothers own a company called Six Speed.
Wait, that's a fire name.
It is. Wow. It's a car club.
Wow, so. That's fire.
So like a shout out to Six Speed. If you guys aren't following, follow them. If you have an appreciation for cars.
Right.
I don't.
That's
but
dope.
But if you do,
I'm gonna follow up the name. Okay, it's yeah. My follow is coming.
Yeah, and so I think like because of that, I look so normal until you put me in context with my family, and then it's like, wait, what? How does this align? There's no like, you know, like in between. But I like again, like I have no like. I respect my religion, and I mm-hmm. and again, like that was part of the thing. Like, you know, when it came down to it, my mom was like, "Hey, do you want to tie a turban?" I was like, "Not really," because I don't think that I can bear the responsibility.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
the responsibility that comes with looking a certain way, the responsibility yes. that comes with, like, you know, like actively, because like again, like I'm a true believer of the fact that if you're wearing a turban and you go out into the world and you're on some fuck shit, you're out here murdering people,
right.
People right. aren't gonna see every like. People aren't gonna see that you are you. They're gonna yes. see the turban. They're gonna yes. be like, "Oh, you're like, yes. you know what I mean?" Like, I mean, yeah. did 9/11 not teach us anything?
Literally,
right?
Right.
Like two very different religions, two very different sects, but they saw a turban, and now all people that yes. wear turbans are all yeah. the same people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So to me, it's like you represent something, and if that's not a responsibility you're willing to like, you know, bear, then you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, especially like, cause like the grounds and like the standard that our religion sets is like very like, you know, like there was a point in time, right? Like before like the British or like even like during the British time that if you were like, say you were on trial for something, right? And you needed an alibi, right? If I came in, like if I was a Sikh and I came in and I was like, no, Emerald was with me, you'd get off scot-free. Because yeah. it like that their word meant something because yeah. like Sikhs were known not to lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It comes with a responsibility. Right. And so to me, it's always like, you know, it's not that I don't respect religion. It's that I respect it too much to be like, I know.
Yes.
I'm not like that. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I will yeah. tell a white lie.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not above
yes.
it. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yes.
Like as much as I want to be better, I do like you fail. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, like that's not to say that like religion doesn't allow room for that. But I like if I look like a practicing Sikh and I lied or I did something or whatever, it would look bad on not just me as a person, but also my religion, right? And like, again, like that's to me, like to me, that's important. And like, again, like a lot of people, like they like inherently see me and they want to respect me less than my cousin, right? And that has a lot of that has a lot to do with like the way that I look, but also like because I was heavier and like, you know, like especially growing up in the time period that we did, it's like, you know, like people who are skinnier are inherently like more pretty, right? So it's like it's a whole bunch of things, but like to me, I just like I always looked at it like, you know, it's not, and that's something that I like always like, I don't discuss like my religious beliefs with a lot of people just because like to me it's like spirituality and religion are so personal, right? And I feel like it's nobody's business how you talk to God. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Right? And so like a lot of like again that same friend in college and he would be like, oh, like, you know, like, what do you think about this, that, and the third? And I'd be like, well, I think that, you know, if you believe that, then you should believe that, right? Like part of our religion is like, you know, you're not supposed to eat meat, right? And he would try to make like, he would basically try to like be like, no, like, you know, this is why you should eat meat. It never says that inherently or anything like that, right? And I was like, okay, well, like, you know, if you want to eat meat, you can eat meat, right? Like, I would give him, like I wouldn't give him PC answers because I was trying to, like, pull a fast one on him. But I genuinely didn't care if he ate meat or not.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I didn't. And that's all that mattered to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like, I'm not trying to control you. I don't care if you eat chicken or not. You know what I mean? And so, like.
But I do think that's the interesting thing about, like I had texted you, like, that intersectionality between the religion that we're all adhering to or like what all of our culture comes from. And then just the culture that it is and the fact that like now we're all belonging to this thing because now it does kind of feel like whether we all believe it or not, even if now it's just so pervasive, like it's everywhere. We all want to be part of this group. And as soon as you do a thing that kind of puts you on the outside of this group, I could almost see like, and maybe it is just because you're a Leo and you're just like fiery and you can handle it. But like, it would feel scary to me to constantly. I mean, I hope that was the only person that was doing that too, and you weren't having to deal with that all the time. But like, if you did, like, that is the situation that you are now risking.
Yeah. Oh, dude, when I tell you that the only place that we were allowed to go outside of school and home was church or like.
Yeah.
Called the Gurdwara, but like church for all intents and purposes, right? It was wild because everybody, like, again, like when I tell you we were there every day. We were there for summer, any break that there was, like we were breaks. There, right? Like that's what we did, right? And so when I slowly started to peter out, it was hard because like all of my friends, everybody that I knew was there, and it was something that was like you know, this isn't. Like, I knew it was going to be hard, but it was harder than that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then I got to, like, especially when I got to college, I think that's when I had, like, a lot of realizations. And I started to realize that, like, it's not linear. Like, none of, like, not religion, not culture, none of this is linear. Right? Like, there's so many different, like, aspects. There's so many, like, because, like, Punjabi culture has, like, a very, like, they have, like, a very, very ingrained, like class system, right? And so like there's just so much culture that I was like bombarded with that I kind of shifted my focus from religion to kind of I made my friends based off of like culture, right? Like Punjabi culture. And so I think that kind of softened the blow because as I was losing things and like even now, like, you know, people look at me weird. Like I went to like a function after so long of like not seeing most of these people. I went to a function yesterday and it was like a housewarming for my uncle. Everybody was there. Nobody talked to me, but like everybody was just kind of staring. Right. I understand like, you know, why you could feel the way that you feel, but. Again, that's not in my business. It's like somebody, I think it was Virdas that said like, you know, like your actions belong to you, but your reputation doesn't.
Wow. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's good.
And I was like, that's so true.
Right.
And when I started thinking of it like that, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes so much sense. And I stopped really caring, because I was just I don't care, you know. And then there are people who are like, you know, like there are people who understand how big of a change and how big of a jump it is, and they're like, you know, I'm glad you're following your heart, right? And like, that's not to say that I don't get along with people. Like I get along with my cousin, you know, and she's super religious, right? And you know, she really does follow her religion to a T type of thing, right? And so like, again, like, you know, I can get along with people who are super religious.
Yeah, I think there's like a whether respect or not they, thing that's so lovely if you can get to that place with someone.
But I also think that like a lot of people, they don't like, because like especially like in the like the fundamentalist like people that I grew up around, they didn't have context as to how to act with people who weren't as religious as them.
Very true.
Right? And so because of that, they don't know how to do anything but to stare.
Right.
Right. Because in their world, everybody looks like them. Everybody acts like them. Everybody believes the same things that they do.
I literally don't know how to start a conversation with you. What are we going to talk about?
Right. Yeah. And like, to expand your worldview is hard. Right. Like I've had people be like, oh, no, like they'll look at me after like years and years and years, and they'll be like, oh, you can't be the same person. Like I literally, like I was so excited to say hi to one of like this lady. And I was like, oh, my God, hi. And she was like, oh, you can't be the same girl. And I was like, well,
okay,
there's that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but again, like I'm never gonna understand. And like this is supposed to be people who are God's chosen ones that are enlightened.
Yes,
that's all. Yes. I'll say about that. Yes. Right. But like, to me, it's just like, you know, I'm not here to fake it.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I think the respect that you are speaking about as far as like having towards it, even without practicing it, it's probably the most noble way to approach that. You know what I mean? Like, I had, it's not a one-to-one comparison at all, but when I left my last church, I was very, very hurt by the way that it ended. And when I came to the church that I work for now, I was just very, I didn't realize how hurt I was. Again, because like I'm working with like the religious expectations that I have on myself to like show that I'm okay, to show that like my faith is good, blah, blah, blah. But then also there's just like the cultural thing of like my church people were my family. That's it. All I had. Community. Yeah. Like that's my whole life. I go to work, which is church, and then I go to church, and then I go home with my family. Oh. That's it. So now I'm also trying to like prove to these people that I've said that I love and that have said that they love me that like I am now okay without you. And so I rush into this next church job and quickly realize that I was not okay. And when I was trying to explain to people why I felt like I actually needed to step down for a second, I was like, it's not because I'm jaded. It's because I don't want to be.
Yeah.
It's not because I don't want to do this anymore. I actually respect exactly like how you said it. It's like, if I'm going to call myself any sort of worship leader, some people, I mean, there's, for some people, there's like even a title distinction between like people who call themselves pastors and then everyone else kind of on a church staff or whatever. But for all intents and purposes, like I pastor people, like I now lead people that I'm under. If I'm not in a good headspace to do this, I respect it too much to fake it in front of all of you.
Absolutely.
That's silly.
Absolutely.
Like, well, I mean, more than silly. It's just literally not right. Like in my heart and in my head. Like
that's exactly what your religion teaches you not to do.
So it was like, did I have this fear that everyone was going to look at me? And the thing is, I did have a guy like who ran into me later and was like, I just don't want you to forget that, like, I just don't want you to forget what God told you. I don't want you to forget like the promises that he made you. And I was like, I didn't. I don't know why you're assuming that.
And it's because I am. And it's so much assumption.
Yes.
Right?
Because this was like a cold, like I hadn't seen anybody in like 4 months, and I just run into this person in public and they text me after. I just feel like I should let you know. I don't know why you feel that, sir.
I don't know. Like, just because, and that's the thing. It's like, there's so much of like your own projection that you're putting
yes.
on.
Yes. I'm like, no, right? This had nothing to do with me.
Me and God are good. Yeah,
like, me and God are chilling. Me and Jesus are still homies. We are
fine. We're good.
I was like, y'all are just triggering and I need to go for a second. Like, I just need to take a break. Like, I'll be back. And I am back. I took a year and a half off, and I'm back. And like, I.
We should keep it in. We're gonna keep it in. Oh my he God. Was like, "This is getting too serious. They're getting riled
They've
up."
They said the name God. So this is the
take
most...
a shot every time we say God.
You didn't know you were coming to Bible study, everybody. You didn't know.
But I think a lot of this is like, this is not preaching religion at all. Like, this is about the politics of it all, I think.
Here's what I will say. Let me give it a positive turn, because I have recently I don't often play music in my car when other people are driving. I'll usually give them the aux, or I will like try to cater my music towards them.
Okay, wait, I have a question though.
Yes.
I have a question. In that scenario.
Yes.
Who is deserving of the aux? The person who is
who deserves it? Me. I deserve it, but I'm nice and I give it away.
No. If you're driving and say you and I are driving, yeah. right? Or like I'm driving, you're in the passenger seat. Who is rightfully the owner of the aux?
That's the thing. I think it's me. I think as the driver, it's me, because it's my space. I'm curating the moment for you.
I'm curating the vibe. That's how I feel.
It's the same as me hosting you in my home.
Yeah.
I have brought you into my car. Hello,
yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
It's Emerald's vehicle.
Yeah.
And now,
would you like some gum?
Yes.
Charging.
I have a charger for you in the center console.
Yeah.
Lotion is in the glove compartment.
I have some deodorant.
And these are my vibes.
Yeah,
these
are the vibes.
Welcome. Yeah. I think I deserve it. The passenger seat always thinks that they get it. It's wrong.
I will tell them, please put this on.
Yeah. I'll add some. You want to cue something?
Yeah.
You can cue a song.
Yeah.
That matches the vibe I'm setting.
Yeah.
But it's mine. With that being said.
You know what my biggest pet peeve is, though? When somebody puts something on without... like asking me.
Don't put something on without asking, and do not skip my song.
That too. I just like, again, our sound guy is a very big culprit of, he'll just like put something on and it'll be and
he
it's
does
not
give
okay,
me that personality.
Here's the thing.
If I'm being completely
the,
honest.
Here's the thing. If it's something that we both have talked about and he puts it on, right? Completely different story. No. This man wants to watch some freaking weird random guy in a pinstripe suit talk about the game that we just watched. Like we weren't there. Like we didn't see word for word, bar for bar, we watched this game. And you want to hear what this guy with the big glasses and a pinstripe suit has to say about it?
I literally am going to remember where I was going, but I'm going to interrupt my own train of thought to piggyback off of your train of thought, because there was a day when we get to Christmas time, I want to watch Christmas movies. That is what I want to do. So I hop online with my friends on Discord and we're going to watch a Christmas movie. We get halfway through this movie and one of the guys hops on and goes, "Have you seen this video of this monkey?"
Oh my
no,
God.
No, I haven't seen the video.
Way to kill the vibe.
We pause the movie so that they can stream this,
That's
this monkey
so
video. And by the time we've all sat there and they have laughed at this monkey for about 30 minutes, they go, "I'm not really down to finish watching the movie anymore." And this is why we can't trust men.
I would have beef.
This is why.
It would be on site.
This is why I can't trust men, because why would you do that to me?
It would be on site.
We agreed on a vibe. And you stick to the vibe. You don't interrupt the vibe for your silliness, sound man. Did you hear that?
Sound man.
You don't ruin it for the vibe. Okay, what I was saying about the car thing was was playing some gospel music in my car.
1 second. Oh. That's
and
why
you
I wasn't giving
as
it.
As soon as I. Take your time.
Okay. We'll wait.
what I was saying about the music in your car is that I was playing some gospel music. I love like late 90s, early 2000s black Christian music. It is the best thing in the world. Everyone should listen to it. They're slaps, whether you believe in it or not. I was going to change the music. For whatever reason, I did not. And my friend ends up hearing some of it and is like, this is kind of fire. I might still listen to this just because. Starts listening to it, finds out that there is a song by a artist, Kirk Franklin. And he's like, why do I know this song already? And it's called Hold Me Now. And he's like, oh, didn't Daniel Caesar write a song called Hold Me Down? And I was like, why, yes. And it's actually the same melody. That's why you know it, because it is an interpolation, my friend. And this is a really long way of saying, there is something about, especially when it comes to like black culture and Christianity being the like cross thing for me, the way that whether you even still practice or not, somehow in some way, I can still look at you from across the room for something. And it's like, no, yeah, I get it. We really, we're right here. Even yeah. to the point where me, millennial music listener, can hear millennial black music person who ain't probably talked to Jesus in a minute, but you make this reference and I'm like, we're back. I'm here. And I feel like it's really cool to see, like, that's the positive side of it.
Yeah.
Is like, whether you're still in a thing or not in a thing, there's like the collective experience that we all had growing up
yeah.
means that just that right song has to come on, or like someone has to reference that thing and you're like, yep, I yeah. connect. We're yeah. here.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing. I think, again, like I have had, like, well, side note to what you were saying about the interpolation. Do you remember Chantel?
Yeah.
Do you remember the song Impossible?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's incredible.
Incredible. Everything, right?
And no boyfriend, by the way, at the time, crying oh, yeah. to that song.
Just
belting it out.
I'm on the rooftop.
Literally.
I'm on the rooftop literally, belting that song.
Literally.
Anyways, so that song, childhood favorite, childhood classic,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Tell me why Sound Guy plays James Arthur singing Impossible. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, he was like, oh, you know this song? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, have you heard the original? He was like, he wrote this with the most condescension in the entire world.
That also sounds like something Sound Guy would do. No offense.
And I said, well. Because Sound Guy is always telling me about culture and pop culture at that and mainstream music. I had the most know-it-all, just and I pulled up Chantel's Impossible.
Heck yeah.
Put up the volume 100%.
Yup.
And I belted that shit the entire time it was on. And I said, oh, you didn't hear the original? This is the original.
Wow. What a concept.
Oh, I love moments where I know something Sound Guy doesn't because it's they're so I get so few.
I get so few.
Yeah.
And he will take advantage of the times that he is right. So it's only right that you get yours.
Oh yeah, 100%.
That you get yours.
Like Sound Guy tells me, like I tell him all the time, I'm like, I'm not always right, but I'm seldom ever wrong. But
I love that.
My
because I'm not gonna sit here and yell about something that I'm not right about, but when I'm right.
Yeah. Dude, but yeah, my calculus teacher used to say that. She used to say, I'm not always right, but I'm seldom ever wrong.
You know?
Little nugget for you guys, especially the girls. No, but the thing is with Sound Guy, he knows so much more about pop culture and like just culture in general that like I'm very not cultured in American culture.
Okay, that's what I was gonna get at, like, why do you feel like you weren't super cultured? Because again, for me, it was a
sheltered.
Yeah, it was Christian content, all the things, Christian music, Christian shows, Christian movies, blah blah blah. It was not until I remember like trying to convince my mom to let me see Twilight in the theaters.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I was like, Mom, please. Yes, it's about vampires, but it's not.
It's not like that.
Yeah, it's not. That's not what you think. It's a love story, Mom. Love is good.
Oh my God, dude. Okay, when I was younger, my mom would, like, we'd go to the library and, like, my mom would sit down on the tables and we'd have to bring her every book and then she would flip through it, right? And so there was a book that I wanted to read, and it was the next book in a series.
Yeah.
And in that, like, my mom, it's just, I had such bad luck as a kid. No. Because she opened it up to a random page.
Yeah.
And she starts reading, and it says he kisses her forehead. Turns it out. No.
That would make me sad. I actually did. I
don't even think she read past he kisses.
Oh, that's it. That's all you need. That's it. That's a gateway.
Exactly.
Can you read that?
Yeah.
It should have said he prayed.
You know what's crazy now?
Yes, she would have let you read it then.
You know what's crazy now? I read some of the dirtiest books.
My friend really tried to play me.
It's
one
just
time.
Me and my Kindle against the world.
He was like, I was like, I want to start reading again. And he gets me this book for my birthday. And he's like, oh, yeah, because you like this. You like this smut stuff, don't you? And I was like, first of all, why would you assume that I want to read this romantic book? Second of all, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wait, were you a Wattpad reader?
I wasn't. I missed that phase.
Wattpad was so good.
And so now as an adult, my friends, like, I love that they will, like, find old things and be like, this is what you missed out on. Come read this Hermione and Draco
fanfic.
Yeah. Fanfic.
I love. Okay. See, I was so spoiled. Like, my thing of, like, being romanced, I had such different expectations because, one, I read, like, Wattpad fan fictions, and then, two, I watched Bollywood movies. I was fucked from the beginning, bro.
And they're so grandiose.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying, look me in the eye and tell me you love me.
We don't do that subtle stuff around here, bro. Like,
tell me that you can't live without me. Tell me that you can't live without me.
Close down this, like, plaza and write my name in the stars. Like,
exactly.
What are we talking about?
Like, what are you talking about? I don't want some random shit.
So you were maybe not getting culture from outside. But you were.
Oh, I was getting culture online. From books or were, like, online. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, even online, I was reading online. That's how much of a nerd I was.
We were reading so much.
Oh, I was reading so much.
I don't know that so the kids much. Are reading that much anymore, if, to be quite honest.
No, if Kindles had existed when I was a child.
Yes.
Oh, baby. It's me against, it's me and my little Kindle against the world right now.
It's like between, like, the series.
And I have a big girl
the
job.
The series that were coming out, like, we were reading the fattest series, like,
Harry Potter.
All the time. Like, then you have the fact that, like, blogging.
Yeah.
If I wasn't reading a physical book, I was reading somebody's personal essay. They were
actually, posting. You know what? I can't even fault Sound Guy for watching something. Like, literally watching a guy talk about the game that we just watched, because I would read a blog.
Absolutely.
About a book I had just read.
Hands down.
So I'm sorry, Sound Guy. This is my official apology to Sound Guy.
A little bit of accountability.
Just a little bit.
I mean, look.
He's not even looking at me.
He just, look.
I'm going to look you in your eye. Look at me so I can look into your eyes and apologize.
I mean, literally, my best friend to this day will not even watch a show without subtitles on. Like, one thing we're gonna do is read.
That's another thing. I cannot, like, I don't know what it is, dude.
I don't know anymore.
When I watch something without subtitles,
because I didn't used to be
words.
This way, and I'm not really sure what changed.
It, dude. Sometimes, it feels like they're speaking a completely different language,
or it's just like. There's just, like, so much going on. Or, like, even, like, if the sound gets crazy, because I feel like movies have also gotten way louder than they used to be. Like, there's a bunch of just, like, heavy, like, you know, violin happening in the background or something.
Yeah.
To where I'm like, can you just, let me just read what's going on real quick.
You know, you know what? I think that's exactly why when I see movies in theaters, I always space out, like, after, like, the first 45 minutes. I can't focus. But at home, if I watch something, I'm into like Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
We watched like the last like 2 hours of Stranger Things. And I was like focused.
It's because you were reading, baby. It's because we had all of those reading logs as kids. That's what it
exactly.
was.
Exactly. It's dude, honestly. Honestly. Reading will save your future.
It will.
You in the screen.
It'll save your future. It'll make you more romantic.
Oh, absolutely. Have you ventured onto Book Talk yet?
I have not ventured onto Book Talk. I feel like at this point in my life, I really do want to start reading again. I know that that can come off very like, I read. But like, I want to. I think there was something so sweet about the amount of time that I would just sit like in a corner just with the book. I remember we had this family friend, they're a couple and lived out in Santa Rosa. And like, so their house is like tucked away in the trees. They barely had any service. They didn't have any TVs. Like they didn't have cable in their house. And in their bedroom, they had this corner that honestly felt super cozy, like the corner that I'm sitting in. I had this lamp that came down over and they let me use it as my like reading nook whenever I came over or whenever our family stayed over. And it was just
perfect.
And the amount of time that I would spend reading.
Oh, absolutely.
And suddenly you become an adult and I'm like, I was listening to a podcast one time and they were like, yeah, I usually like to ask people like, what's the last book that they read? And I'm like.
I mean, I'm currently reading a book, so I can't relate.
But I'm trying to get on your level.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't read like that anymore. I wish I did. But
just like a little something every once in a while.
Honestly, I'm trying to implement this thing where like no electronics before bed. And
I want to in theory.
And the reason, because like I fall asleep with the TV on and that's, it's not good, you know? Because like also like I've now created a list of shows that we can have on that we can fall asleep to.
Yes.
Because previously it would be whatever. And when I tell you, I once fell asleep to, what were we watching? Oh, Vampire Diaries.
No, not a good sleepy
and
time.
And I wake up and there's just like crashing.
See? Yes.
And I'm jolted out of my sleep.
Gotta control it.
And I'm like, what the? And all I see is on the screen Damon with his like fangs out. And I'm like,
nope.
Not this can't again. Do it. You know? So I like now it's only strictly sitcoms, right? New Girl is a favorite.
Ooh, great one. Yeah.
New Girl's happy endings, that kind of stuff. But I just want to get to a place where I don't depend on something like that to get to sleep just because I feel like I would be more at ease. And so what I did honestly when Sound Guy isn't here is I'll read, or if I'm like in my bed by myself, like I'll read. Like I have a Kindle. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like again, anybody who doesn't want to get a Kindle because they like the feel of a paperback book, trust me, when you can read in the dark,
it'll change your life.
Game changer.
Okay.
I have the sweetest Kindle setup. Okay.
Have you seen the thing that like the book holder?
I have something better. I have it's basically like this mic stand, right? Yeah. But it's a holder, right? So I can put my iPad on there.
So impressive.
I can put my phone on there. I can put my Kindle on there, right? So I have that, right?
Yeah.
Then my blanket. And I clip on my little page turner.
Yes, I've seen those.
And then I put the little page turner thingy on my thing. And I'll snuggle up real good.
Those look so cool.
And then I'm just like.
I actually need to start reading more just so that I can.
Oh, you can. If you want to read more, like you can buy accessories.
It's so cute.
So good.
The first time I ever saw the like bar that comes out to hold the thing and that page turner.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this sorcery?
Yeah.
What is this?
Life changing.
It's so good.
And then if you put it on dark mode, it's like basically black. And then like the writing is like grayish. So it's like not as stark. And it doesn't like, it's not the same as like, because none of the Kindles are backlit.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
So like, it's not like how like our phones are. Right.
Right.
So it doesn't emulate the same thing in your brain as your phone would. So it actually helps you get to sleep faster. Right. And then I just, it's so good. And then sometimes like if it's really hot, I have like this little headband thingy that like goes around my eyes and it has like jelly in it. And so I'll like either put it in the fridge or I'll put it in the freezer for a little bit so it gets cold. And so I'll put that on, living my best life. And then I always like, I don't know if you do this, but I sleep with a satin eye mask.
Ooh,
so I'll have that on so that once I'm ready to go to sleep, it's just
pull it right down.
go to sleep.
I gotta be like you when I grow up.
Yeah. Dude, when I tell you, my bedroom is like the place.
Yeah.
Like I don't spend money on like a lot of things. Like I will thrift a lot of things, but like we spent thousands of dollars on our mattress. We spent like a lot of money on like our setup and everything in there just because it's, again, you spend a third of your life sleeping.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like,
or even it just has like to be those good moments of waking up. Like when I feel like some of my best moments are like right after I've done like a deep clean of my bedroom.
Yeah.
Like everything is in its place. And that moment when you wake up and like in my curtains in my room are sheer. So like
the light can still like come in. Yeah.
And like waking up with the sunlight and like you feel good and then you look around and like it looks good. Like there's something about that like moment of peace.
Yeah.
That is just like you need it.
Second to
none.
You need it every day. Yeah. No, absolutely. And but to go back to what I was saying was, who is your favorite princess and why?
Ooh, my favorite princess and why? I mean,
there's a tie-in, I promise. I'm not just saying this.
My favorite movie is technically Cinderella, the Brandy and Whitney Houston version, which would maybe lead me to say Cinderella, but I think I just like Brandy more than I like Cinderella. Probably Pocahontas, I would say.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And why? I mean, her music is really, really good. And I enjoy like her kind of like... she's got like this like calmness about her demeanor that doesn't actually take away from any of her convictions and like what she wants to say.
Yeah.
But I do love her like calm, serene like nature about her. Even just the way she speaks, the way she sings, like all that.
Yeah.
Probably. Do you have a favorite?
Yes.
Okay.
Mine was Belle.
Okay.
And it's because when the first time I saw Beauty and the Beast, I saw her swinging across the library.
I do think that's enough for that to be a really good choice.
She's living my dream.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
How does it feel to live my dream? Be so for real,
these
right?
These are the grand gestures you're looking for.
Exactly.
Give me a library.
Exactly. Give
Did
me a
ever
library.
Did you consider?
Yeah.
Maybe I just want a library for my birthday?
Yeah. No, more than a library. I want one
With
of those
the
sliding.
Ladder.
I want the ladder. That's honestly all I want in this life is a sliding ladder. There's this lady that put in a sliding ladder into like her little like nook. Oh my God.
I saw a sliding ladder at a cutie little bar in Vacaville recently. It's called The Library, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's called The Library. And like it still has, you talked about physical books, it still has that like book smell because some of the shelving is still up or whatever. And you go inside and it does look kind of like, and like it's still got the wood and the fireplace on the side and all the things. But their alcohol is on a tall enough shelf to where they have a rolling ladder.
That's so cool.
I thought it was just for show until someone actually like grabbed a bottle of whiskey with it. And I was like.
We went to LA and we stayed at the historic Hollywood Hotel.
Nice.
And it's, first of all, that hotel is so cutesy. The rooms are kind of small. It's kind of expensive because it's like really close to Melrose, but it's so cute. And they basically have like an attached like bar and eatery, right? Like downstairs. And they had the thing, right? And like it was like, it was just like you were saying, it's all alcohol and it was like top shelf alcohol and stuff. And I just like remember, I was like, oh my God. That's so cool.
I'm like, what do I need to stack really high on a shelf?
And also like I think like Beauty and the Beast, like the whole like I love the enemies to, or like the enemies to lovers trope. That's one of
I do too,
tropes.
Unfortunately. I wish I didn't, but I do think it's fun.
Oh, you know what's the one book that got me back into reading? Mm. Was okay. Y'all, before y'all come for me, okay. I'm just saying this is what got me back into reading. Colleen Hoover, because a lot of people feel very, very strongly about Colleen Hoover.
I don't know anything about anything except I saw a YouTube video that was like, hey, I don't think we like her. And I watched it and I was like, oh my gosh.
Okay.
But with that being said.
Okay.
It was just your gateway.
It was my gateway. Right? I don't think it's the greatest book ever, but the sentiment, I think, was very good. And I think that's what blew her up. It's called It Ends With Us.
Okay.
I think I might have it, or I might have the second book. I don't know if I have it here, if you want to borrow it. But basically, it follows Lily Bloom. Her name's Lily Bloom. And she falls in love with a guy. And, like, you know, like, they have, like, their toxic, like, intergenerational trauma, right? It's very, like, new agey millennially, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That, I'm again, that's why she, like, she knows her target. Here's my thing. I'm never going to fault somebody for good marketing.
Yes.
Yes. I'm never going to fault somebody for knowing their demographic.
Yes.
Ever. Never going to be me. That's not going to be, like, I'm not that type of person. Because I understand that what you're selling is a product.
Look, since we're admitting things, I did the very same thing with a book called Adult Essence by Gabby Hanna.
Oh, yes.
I had no idea who Gabby Hanna was.
You don't?
I had, at the time, I didn't. No, now. I had no idea who she was. I had no idea about her YouTube, about her music, about anything about how anybody felt about her. All I know is I was a millennial who saw a poem book. Yeah. With some drawings inside that reminded me of Shel Silverstein. And I opened it and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so relatable. This is so great. It's not cringe out of context.
Yeah.
Once you get the context. So I, like, now I own this book, and then I'm on YouTube one day and they're like, let me tell you why nobody likes her. And I was like, oh.
Two things. One, side note, have you read Milk and Honey by Rupi Kaur?
Of course.
Yeah. Again, of course. She gets so much hate, but I'm like, bro, like, you're just
but
mad.
But again, it's you're like, mad. The product is the product. It's only cringe because now in the context, it's trash.
People are like, oh, she's so watered down. I'm like, that's the point. But second thing, the other sidebar that I was going to say was, remember how I was telling you about the Do We Know Them podcast?
Yes.
Right? Jesse Smiles.
Yes.
And Gabby Hanna got into it online because... because they were friends, and then Jesse got sexually assaulted by Curtis, who is another Viner.
Yep.
And then Gabby Hanna,
of course,
was hanging out with Curtis and making content.
Yep.
But that just gives you context as to who Jesse is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But see, but it's like, you know, things are a little cringe, a lot cringe, honestly, once then, you know, the context and all the things. But again, it was just
But here's my thing. One of my gateways to get me back in. If you read the Colleen Hoover, if I give it to you and you read the Colleen Hoover book, right?
Yes.
You're not supporting her.
I don't think so.
Right. But also, no. I wasn't really supporting her because I picked up the book at the thrift.
I didn't know. We didn't know. Right? We were just picking up books.
Right? It was $1.99 at the thrift. I was not putting money into Colleen Hoover's pockets. Just FYI, okay?
We didn't know what we were doing.
Just okay? FYI. But yeah, so that book, but it talks about, like, intergenerational trauma and stuff like that. Yeah. And the whole thing, the whole trope is that it ends with us. Like, we are going to be the last generation to have this trauma.
Oh,
right?
Well, yeah, like you said, marketing, that is...
Right?
Yeah,
I'm not going to fault somebody.
We want that.
Exactly, right? And so that got me into reading because I read that book. I read that book in one sitting.
Mm.
That's how much... That's how empowered I felt by reading that book. And then I read the second book. Second book wasn't as good, but it got me into reading, and I started reading Lucy Score books. And she has a series called Things We Hide. No, that was the second one. I forgot what the first one was called. The second one's called Things We Hide From the Light. Mm-hmm. Right. But that was, like, a better version of the Colleen Hoover books. But I think you should read It Ends With Us just because it's a good book. It's a good story. And I have other Colleen Hoover books. I just haven't gotten into them, but just because it's not my type of. Like it's very young, very young adult.
Yeah.
Right. It Ends With Us was not super young adulty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I love that book. And I think it addresses something. It was so, like, what's the word? Like, it was just, it was so validating.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it kind of made me, like, you know, really address, like, my own, like, intergenerational traumas and stuff like that. And I was just like, damn, like, you know, it's such a powerful message. Like, even It Ends With Us, right? And so, again, it was a good book, and I liked it, and I'm not afraid to say that. And again, I picked it up at the thrift. I'm not putting money into Colleen Hoover's pockets. Please don't come for me.
I think I generally love that is something that books can do,
right?
That they will make you pause and think and reevaluate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like that's why I will always come back to. Every once in a while, when I get on my spurts of reading,
yeah.
and I find the good book, and I do finish it all the way to the end, I'm like, yeah, there's a reason why I enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
Like, it's for the fantasy and the getting lost in the book and all the things, but when you do find a book that kind of opens up your mind and allows you to feel safe enough to like explore something within yourself and work through that. It's kind of fire.
It is. It really is. I love reading so much. It's always been like my first escape. And like, again, like getting back into reading, like it's been like a year and a half now, I think. And it's just always so much fun. Like, yeah. Like I can pick up a book and like, especially with the Kindle, like especially because like it like keeps you like, you know, and it's just, I don't know, like I love having that. And I love, and sometimes you just get tired of doom scrolling.
Yes.
Like yes. And I never thought I would say that because I love TikTok, but sometimes I get tired of doom scrolling. I'm like, yo, I just want to feel something, but I don't want to watch a TV show, you know? Right. And so it's like the perfect medium. Do you ever listen to audiobooks or anything?
I've tried, but there's something I'm not connecting to it enough when I'm just reading an audiobook. I'll do it if I really need to, like, you know, reread books for work and things like that, and I'll throw on an audiobook, but that's very like an intentional, I'm trying to get something out of this book. Just my casual read, I want to physically like read it so I feel like a captive audience. For when I'm listening, I don't know why there's like a disconnect for me, even though, like we were talking about before, I listen to like 3-hour long YouTube videos.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like I go back and forth. Sometimes I really like listening. Like if it's, okay, here's my thing. When I get into a story, I get into a story.
Yeah.
Right. And so if I'm like, if I have to go somewhere and I have to drive, then I'm going to listen to audiobook. I do not care because I want to know what happens next in the story. So I will like, the Things We Hide from the Light. Mm-hmm. That was like the second, I don't know if that was the first or the second book, but basically I started that book and then I was like, I had to go somewhere and it was going to take me like an hour to do like whatever I was going to do. So I was like, oh, so I Googled and I was like,
switch to the audio. Yeah.
Right. And so I'm listening to this story and like, I went through like 8 chapters in that time. Right. And I was like, and so then as soon as I got home, I dropped everything, you know, got back on the couch and I started reading.
I love that.
And I was like, yes. Like, you know, like it's good in a pinch is my point.
I might have to do it.
Yeah. Or if somebody like is reading it and they're reading it like this.
Ooh, and love a good ASMR moment.
It's very smooth and like they're talking and it just makes you want to go to sleep. Yeah. Could never be me, though. I mean, I laugh at this caliber. Like, you think I could do this and do the ASMR. Are you a fan of ASMR?
I was going to say I am a fan of ASMR, and we were talking about me creating content, and I do think in another universe, I am an ASMR artist.
ASMR artist.
Yes.
Love that.
I would do it.
Love that.
I love a good little, all of this little, all that stuff. Eat it up. I eat it up. I'm sorry.
Honestly, I love, you know what my, you know.
I didn't even see the Alexa.
If you
part.
Missed that,
that's so funny.
Alexa just said, no worries. No, I, you know what my weird, like, random thing on the internet that I love? I love soap cutting videos.
No, they're so good.
They're so good.
And I don't really understand what chokehold they have on me.
Wait, okay, no, there's two types of soap cutting videos. There's the soap cuttings for that people make soap and then they cut them.
Yep.
And then there's the people who, like, just cut the soap.
Yes. I mean,
Cut bars of soap.
I probably am a Destroyer fan. Well, it beats out the actual soap makers, but not by a lot.
Yeah.
I do really enjoy when they have, like, the full block and you watch them, like, cut the, you know, the little bars out. But there's something, I particularly like the little soaps that they score.
Yes.
And then they shave off. If you've never seen this before, which maybe you, I don't know even how I found it, but if you've never seen this before, they'll take a bar of soap and they'll score it. So they'll like dice it this way and they'll dice it this way.
Like not really, so, really small.
And not so that it falls apart. It's still connected.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like got all these like breaks in it now. And then they'll take the knife and they'll slowly shave it off layer by layer. So all these like hundreds of little crumbs like of pebbles. Soap are just falling down, and they just make piles of shredded soap. That's it. That's the video.
It literally is just that.
That's the video for 30 seconds, and it is heaven.
That or like, have you seen the people where they put stuff under the hydraulic press?
I love those.
They're so satisfying. I love
them. And I don't understand why.
I don't either.
I think it's like there's a weird part of her brain that like, that's the stuff that you always want to do.
Yeah.
You always imagine. I don't need a hydraulic press in my house, but I love that you're doing it and you're recording it for me. Yeah.
No, you know what else is what else is super popular is the like where they like roll the water jugs. They roll them down.
Ooh, like down the stairs?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. That or like they'll have like the little jugs like stacked and then they'll roll something and then it'll hit the thing. It's so random. Like, I don't know how I come on these.
Why are we like this?
Or the ones where they'll like throw like water jugs off of a thing and it'll hit those little spiky thingies.
I like the ones where they roll, where they just roll different glass containers downstairs and see how many steps it takes before it crashes. I'm like, why am I sitting watching this for 2 minutes?
Oddly satisfying.
Because do I care about the durability of glass containers?
No. Honestly, I really like the glass making ones too, where they'll make something.
Yep.
That texture is so good.
If you ever just like prompted me with one of these, I'd be like, why are you asking me to watch that? Like, if you came up to me and said, hey, do you want to come watch me roll this glass?
No.
I'd be like, weirdo. But for some reason, just randomly scrolling past it, I'm like, now that wine bottle was strong. That was impressive. Yeah. I need to look that up later.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, like, yeah, I don't know. I love all that stuff comes up on my For You page, but it'll be like double screened with like some podcaster or some comedian doing crowd work.
That's actually all I want. All I want is a little commentary with my ASMR videos. Yeah. And I'm good.
And it just, you know.
It hits.
It really does. It truly does. All right, you guys. So that is all that we have for you guys today. I have no idea what this episode's going to be called, honestly. Zero ideas.
Everything all at once is already taken. All the things.
Everything but the kitchen sink.
That might be it. Honestly, if you made it this far, then you do know that we have talked about everything.
Yeah, if you made it this far, first of all, thank you so much. Because this has been a long one. We've been recording forever.
Yes.
But it hasn't felt like forever.
It hasn't.
I love you so much. Anyways, if you enjoyed this episode, let us know in the comments below. You can find Emerald at
That Green Jewel on all the things.
I will have it linked down below. Mm-hmm. And tell Emerald that she's such a phenomenal singer, you guys, because she truly is. Like, she is so multi-talented, so multifaceted.
Mm, thank you.
We love that. We love a well-rounded individual.
Oh, stop it.
If you guys are watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and do the YouTube-y things. If you guys are listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or JioSaavn, don't forget to rate and follow the podcast. It really does help us out. And we will see you in an episode super, super soon. Bye. Bye.